So today is not going to be a preaching. I'm going to talk to you. We're going to have an open discussion, and it is going to get tight. First service, one time I didn't think they were even breathing. So I thought I was the only one in the whole room that was breathing. We're going to talk about overcoming porn this morning, which is, it's tight, right? And I want to show you some things about it that I think you need to know, and it's more about a generation. It's not aimed at men at all. It's aimed at all of us because it's more of a family problem than it is a man problem. And I'll show you what I mean by that. I'm not afraid of hard topics, so I hope you know that. I dive right into them. You know, I write for Fox News, and my latest article for them was on political correctness and why it's not correct. And it'll get lots of hate. Amen? And but it's true. And we need to live according to God's word, right? All right, so we're going to dive into that thought. Don't leave. If you leave, you have to crawl out on your belly. That's the rule, okay? So that's a joke, of course. We're going to look at Matthew 6. If you have the Bible app this morning, if you're using the Bible app, the notes are there. You pull up your YouVersion. You push the more button in the lower right-hand corner. There you go. There's your instructions right there. So that'll take care of that. Just leave that up there for a few minutes. You guys can take care of that. And then from there, the notes are there, and you have a great time. You can also forward those to other people, which is a great opportunity. So we're going to look at Matthew 6. Before we do that, let's stand and read, and then we'll pray, and then we'll dive into the Word, okay? It's going to be a great time. You're going to love it. Amen. Matthew 6. 22, verse 23. The lamp of the body is the eye. The lamp of the body is the eye. One more time. The lamp of the body is the eye. Let's read it together. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. Next verse. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. Wow. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray the Holy Spirit would just have his way in this place. I pray that he would take us deeper. I pray that he would expose our hearts to us. I pray, Father God, that, Lord, you would stir our spiritual hunger greater than anything that's drawing us. Father, I thank you that, Lord God, it's not by might or by power, but by your Spirit. I thank you for every person in this room, and I thank you for what you want to do in our hearts today. Yes, God, we just open our heart to you, and we ask you, Lord God, to have your way. Yes. And I thank you, Lord God, that I am your messenger this morning. Use me for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Our first slide tells us porn is no longer just a man problem, but a family problem. Pornography has climbed to a primary problem in the American family. 47% of families in the United States reported that pornography is a problem in their home. 47% of families in the United States reported that pornography is a problem in our homes. You know, in years past, we've always thought that pornography was just a man problem and it was a man thing because men get turned on by their eyes and those things. And that's all true. And I'm sure that the numbers, but the truthful numbers is regarding Christianity, 33% of Christian women look at porn and 40% of Christian men look at porn. The women's stat is up 17 points in the last 5 years. Pornography is becoming rampant all across the nation. There are senators that are calling pornography a little human crisis in our world. And it is that for sure. Here's something startling. Most children are exposed to porn by the average age of 11. And 94% of children will see porn by the age of 15, or 14 years old. 94%. We have an epidemic of pornography in our world. We're about to lose a generation if we're not careful. If we don't deal with the issue of pornography, we're going to find ourselves involved in a place where it's going to be very difficult for us to recover. How many of you know that the devil doesn't sleep? that he hates your children and he wants to steal this entire generation. 1.9 million are addicted to cocaine. 2 million people are addicted to heroin. And 40 million are addicted to pornography. 20 times more than heroin. And the research shows us that the brain of a person who watches pornography regularly has the same brain trained and rewire as a person on cocaine. It doesn't just affect your spirit. It affects your body. It affects your life. It affects your brain. It affects everything. Porn is dangerous. Porn is a killer. And here's how it's accessed. The next slide will show us how it's accessed. When we give a child a phone, we're literally giving them a vending machine for pornography. You know, isn't it amazing that we watch our kids with filters on our phones where they go. We track them on their phones where they're at and where they're driving to, but that we do not and we fail to track what they're reading, what they're writing, who they're sexting, who are their friends. We must be careful. We have to be vigilant. We are about to lose a generation. And when we hand them the phone, we're handing them literally something that can literally ruin their lives. 33% of girls under 25 search for porn on their phones at least once a week. 33% of girls under 25 search for porn on their phones at least once a week. 46% of girls under 25 sex their friends or the opposite sex. Notice that 46% of girls sex their friends while only 33% of them search for porn. Which means we've created a whole nother problem. We've glamorized glamour, right? We've made beautiful things more important than character. We've glamorized our beautiful children. We put our children in very difficult situations. We hand them a phone without training them how to use it. Only 39% of Christian parents have taught their children against the use of pornography. So we track where they go. We track where they drive, we track their speed, but we don't track their friends. We've moved from Christian apathy to Christian neglect. If we neglect our children, we neglect a generation. Because the enemy is vigilant. The enemy is moving. The enemy is phoning around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Parents, we can't neglect our kids. We have to make sure that they're protected. The Bible says that the adulterer seeks the precious life, and every child, every teenager is a precious thing in the sight of God. Their anointing has to be protected. The enemy tries to come in at a young age. He steals purpose. He steals their life. He steals. He instills in them shame, such shame that they can't worship God. If you were a millennial, think about it for a minute. If you were a millennial and you were tied up in porn, would you want to come to church? Why? Because when you walked in this place, it reminds you of who you are or who you have become. The enemy is trying to steal the precious life of so many. We do not want to be sluggard parents. We don't want to be parents who don't pay attention to the things of our children's lives. Proverbs 24, I want to use this as a metaphor regarding this thought. Verse 30. I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. It was all grown over with thorns, and nettles covered its surface, and the stone wall was broken down. Then I saw it and considered it. I looked on it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so your poverty will come like a stalker and your needs as an armed man. Fields grow weeds where we do not plant seeds. Weeds automatically grow in your teenager's life. And if we don't plant seeds and pull weeds, we reap the wrong and see the wrong things. The enemy loves to plant weeds in your children. And as parents, we have got to teach them. And we have got to plant. We must plant the right seed in their life so that they will have the right harvest in their lives. And if only 39% of us Christian parents have never discussed porn with our kids, we have to get into the battle. We have to be responsible for the next generation and for the generations to come. We have to be vigilant against the enemy. We have to stand in this battle. And we have to make sure that we're doing the right things to keep the enemy out of our children's lives and to save a generation. So number one this morning, porn kills. It kills dreams. It kills intimacy. It kills marriages. It kills families. It kills trust. It steals worship. It instills shame. Pornography creates a great stigma, one of the strongest stigmas of shame in your life. No one wants to be exposed that they are doing something so shameful, but yet something that seems so natural. Because what the enemy loves to do is take the natural parts of our life and to take them off the rail and move them into perversion. It is those natural things that often become the perverted things. And it's easy for that to happen in our lives. Sex is dangerous outside of marriage. It's dangerous outside of marriage for lots of reasons. There's all sorts of addictions and lust. Some lusts aren't dangerous. There are certain sins that have consequences that other sins don't have. A food addiction doesn't have the same consequence as a porn addiction. A food addiction primarily is going to hurt you and your health. But a porn addiction is going to break covenant with your spouse. It's going to create shame in your life. It's going to steal your worship. It's going to steal your dreams. It promises pleasure, but it gives pain. It promises intimacy, but it delivers isolation. Porn kills. Porn steals. Porn is dangerous. So we looked at the field. Now we're going to look through a window. So I'll look through the window. Let's look out a window together. For at the window of my house, I looked through my casement, and I saw among the simple ones, I discerned among the youth, a young man void of understanding. Passing through the street near her corner, he went the way to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And there a woman met him with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet do not abide in her home. She is without, now in the streets, and lies in wait at every corner. She caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said to him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore I came out to meet you. Diligently to seek your face, I have found you. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, alloys, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with love. For my husband is not home. He has gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him. He will come home at the day appointed. She hopes. With her enticing speech, she caused him to yield, and with flattering of her lips, she seduced him. He went after her straightway, as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of stocks. That's a metaphor for he's going to prison. Until a dart struck through his liver, as a bird hastens to the snare, he did not know that it would cost him his life. Listen to me, therefore, O children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not go astray in her paths, for she has cast down many wounded, and many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. It's a metaphor, a story of what adultery and fornication does to you, to us, whether you're male or female. It's like a liver. It's like a dart going through your liver. Adultery kills. Lust kills dreams. Lust takes lives. Lust takes marriages. I could tell you story after story of people I have sat in front of, professionals, who it says, she has slain many wounded. And it is because of our wounds that we seek love in all the wrong places. Like an ox going to the slaughter, like a fool going to prison, many wounded, many slain, a path to hell. It's a chamber of death. 33% of Christian women use porn. 40% of Christian males use porn. $11 billion industry with more income than the NFL, the MLB, and CBS combined. 370 million porn sites with 30,000 downloads per second. Between 9 and 5, Monday through Friday. Meaning most are using porn at their work desk. Porn is a factor in 56% of all divorces. Can you see the attack on the family? Men, women, single, children, teenagers. The enemy has a strategy. We've gone from television to video to phones to porn. The next one that we will see, if we don't stop this, is murder. It's a terrible, dangerous. Listen to me this morning, and please, it is literally an epidemic, more than any epidemic America and our nation has ever faced. 89% of all porn is produced in the U.S. 89% of all pornographic material is produced right here in the United States of America. Porn is lust. Lust on steroids. Lust means to crave or to desire. Lust is the root, and porn is the fruit of lust. You have permission to lust after one person in your life, the person that you're married to. One of the greatest ways to keep porn out of your life is to find one person that you're married to, and you find all of your sexual satisfaction, all of your sexual fantasy, and all of your sexual activity with that one person. When you look outside of that one person for any type of sexual stimuli, you are doing the wrong thing. You're opening the door to the enemy and setting up what is possibly one of the worst strongholds that you will ever deal with. I had a friend that was addicted to pornography. He was single. He was free of that addiction for 11 years. And after 11 years, there was a lady in high school that he had met in high school. And he was single, and she sent him a text message one night and said, "I'd like to be with you." And he said, "Okay, let's go to dinner." That dinner ended up in a hotel, and the hotel ended up in a sexual encounter. And he called me, and he said, "Pastor, can I meet with you?" And I said, "Yes." We met together, and he said, "I never had a thought. I never had a temptation. God delivered me from pornography." He said, "Since this sexual encounter, I can't get the images out of my mind." This is the way the enemy works. He always has a plan. But you know what? There's hope for all of us. God is the great deliverer. Jesus is the great deliverer. Like Adam so eloquently led us in worship, in the freedom there is in Christ. He is our deliverer. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And he can deliver every person in this room, young people, mature people, grandparents, whatever you are, how old you are, 2 to 20, 8 to 80, God can deliver you. And God can deliver you and me. Adam Smith's going to come and give a testimony about how God delivered him and about how he was once a drug addict, but something that held on to his life and how God delivered him. So let's give Adam, first of all, a round of applause. Let's welcome him to LifeBridge. Share your heart, bro.
It's quiet in here today.
It's quiet, bro.
I've never heard y'all so quiet. That's right, I'm quiet too.
You can't say amen when you talk about porn. You did. Amen. Huh? Did you say amen to that?
So Pastor Tom, he called me yesterday at work and asked me to give a short testimony about porn. So you sure in front of the church? I'm a barber, so I almost dropped my shears when he asked me. But anyway, so I come from drug addiction in that life, and along with that drug addiction comes a porn addiction. It's hand in hand. So I got saved, gave my life to the Lord. And who knows when you give your life to the Lord that you really realize how messed up you are.
Right. Right. So right.
You come to that cross, and that cross shows you really who you are. But anyway, so I'm a couple years into it, and I just haven't kicked this porn addiction. And I said, "You know, God, I've quit doing drugs. I quit cussing. I quit lying. I quit stealing. I quit hanging out with those people, but I can't quit porn. What's the problem?" And God said, "You need to be quit being so self-righteous. Mm-hmm. You ain't stopped nothing. You didn't stop drugs. I took it from you. Mm-hmm. You didn't stop lying. I took that from you. You didn't stop stealing. I stopped you from stealing. And you didn't stop cussing. I stopped you from cursing. And you're never going to stop watching porn. You have to allow me to take it from you." And so my life changed when I actually listened to God. Got on my knees and gave my addiction to him. Amen.
Thank you so much. Sounds too simple, doesn't it? Sounds just too simple. But the truth of the matter is, it is sin. And God wants to take it. And when you know the sin you like is the one you like. You know the sin. You know what's the hardest one to get rid of? The one you like. And so the truth of the matter is, we have a lot of denial about porn. We deny just because you hate something doesn't mean you're not getting satisfaction from it. So we run to it for satisfaction and then we hate it. The common strategy for porn addiction is binge purge. You binge on it, and then you purge from it. You purge from it for months and months and months, and then it sets up its tenure again and its temptation, and we end up falling back into that situation. And before that happens, then you binge because you just get the best of it you can, and then you purge. This is what all addicts do in every area of addiction. It's binge purge. It's hate love. But here's what Jesus said. He said, you love me if you keep my commandments. So we prove our love to God by what we keep for him. It is hard for us to say that we love God and don't keep his commandments. And I see that all over our world today. We have such a sloppy Christianity. We're sloppy about it. I mean, if people call themselves a pilot, they should fly a plane. If they don't fly a plane, they shouldn't be considered a pilot, right? But we use the word Christian without Christ in our lives. We use the word Christian without conversion. We use the word Christian without being a true follower. And we're sloppy. Porn is lust. Here's what the Bible says about lust. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Here's what the scripture says. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So it takes a transformed mind. The Bible, Jesus said this. He said, if a man looks upon a woman to lust, a man looks upon a woman to lust, he has committed adultery already. Catch it. So here's what we do with that. We say, well, if you look at a woman, you commit adultery. That's not what he said. He said, if you look at a woman to lust, in other words, if you look at a woman to lust, so I'm lusting, so I look. If I'm lusting and look, I commit adultery. If I'm looking and I start to lust, I look away. Are you hearing me? You don't have the ability to see everything you're going to see, but you have the ability to control everything that you see. You can turn the wrong way and see the wrong thing. You can also turn the right way when you see the wrong thing. That's called training. That's called operating your soul. It's called being led by the Spirit. It's called having a renewed mind about what you're supposed to be looking at and what you're not supposed to be looking at. And let me tell you, you can say you're delivered. You can say you're delivered from lust, and that's awesome. And you can be. But that doesn't give you permission to look because you're delivered. Because if you look too long, your setback will come. The enemy loves to set you up for traps. The righteousness of the upright will deliver them, but the unfaithful will be caught by their lust. So lust is a result of our unfaithful heart. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. So he's trying to tell us that lust is sin. This is an argument. There are certain men that tell me, oh, I can look at women, and it doesn't matter. They're made in God's beauty, and it's okay for me to look at them, and I can observe them and thank God for their looks. I'm like, you're a liar. You can disguise all that you want to. But if that's what you got to discuss, why don't you just say that you're the temple of the Holy Spirit and that the Holy Spirit's in control of your life and you have the ability to look at what you want to. You also have the strength to look away when you need to. That's what following the Holy Spirit is all about, and the Holy Spirit living his life through us. So he says, put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which goes corrupt according to deceitful lust. So this is a characteristic of the old man before you were Christ-like. The new man in Christ, here's what he says. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh doesn't go away. The flesh wants what it wants. When we are led by the Spirit, we control the lust of the flesh. So you might see a lady that's attractive, and you might want to look at her, but you know better because the Holy Spirit said, no, 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 no. That's not your job. Look away from that. It's not for you. You have one person you're to look at. You get all your satisfaction from this one person. You have no right to look outside of that one person for your sexual pleasure or any sexual stimulation. I know that's old-fashioned, but it's true. And if you put your mind there and live that way, you'll find yourself winning lots of battles. And really, you'll learn how to walk in the Spirit where this is not even. You'll become so led by the Spirit, you will spontaneously know what to do because the Holy Spirit will lead you. So then he says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Porn is sin. Acknowledge our sin. Hate our sin. And all sin, the Bible says, is idolatry. And when you think about it for a minute, women or men, if you're looking at a body, if you look at a body other than your spouse, is that not an idol? When you look at a body for beauty, other than staring into the beauty of God, it's the ultimate idolatry. Porn is idolatry in every way. So how do we deal with it? First of all, we repent of our sin. Second of all, we reconnect to Jesus, like Adam said. It's a tug of war. Shame will keep you from getting in his lap. Shame will cause you to look away from the eyes of Jesus, not into the eyes of Jesus. Shame will cause you to feel like you're a secondhand Christian. And a secondhand kingdom citizen. So we want to reconnect to Jesus. We want to love him more than we love pleasure. We remove the strong man. Remove that, the access. It may be your eyes. It may be video. It may be a person that stimulates you. You need to stay away from those people. Get away from the things that are not good for you. Learn how, with temperance, possess your soul. The Bible says for us to possess our soul. This is a spirit way to live. That we live by the Spirit and not by the flesh. Amen. Request and give accountability. In other words, find somebody to be accountable to and give accountability. No one, if you're willing to be accountable, no one should have to ask you for your accountability. You should give your accountability. You give your failures. You give your successes. If you're accountable to me, I shouldn't have to come up to you and say how you're doing. You should be giving that accountability away. Put filters on your phone. Be accountable to someone. Stay away from things that would stimulate you until you grow up and mature in spirit to where you automatically, because the Spirit of God is living in you, you are now spontaneously living from the Spirit, and these things no longer matter. And then resolve yourself dead to lust. Why did I say that? Because the way you see yourself is the way you'll live. When you can look at that person and say, I'm dead to that, that's not me. That's an old thing. I'm walking in a new thing. I'm walking in God. I'm walking in the Spirit of God. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new to me. When you get to that place, you get to that place where there's deliverance. Men, women, children, teens, grandpas. I've been called to the home of an 80-plus-year-old man. And he's confessing to me his sex drive. And he was single. And listen, this stuff doesn't go away. 80 years old. And I'm thinking, you've had 80 years to get this under control. See? But when you don't use your prime years to learn how to rule this temple, you're going to be 80 years old, like David, sitting in bed with virgins. Right? David was 180 probably. I don't know how old he was. But the point being is that we have time. This is the time to get our temple in condition, to be led by the Spirit, to overcome our trauma and our struggles so that we can win these battles, so that we can be free, which means to go about it pleasure. And when you go out in the community, you don't have to worry about, I hope I don't see no girls. You don't have to worry about what girls you see, but inside, the Holy Spirit's leading you, showing you and training you, and you're winning these battles. Amen? Because we can. Jesus is our deliverer, our healer, and our salvation. And he wants and loves broken people. And this is a brokenness issue in our lives. There's something broken in us when we have to look to that for pleasure. So we want God to heal that. And the Bible says a broken reed, he will not turn away. So I'm telling you, no matter how you feel, no matter how much shame you have, and I know this has been bold and brash, but listen, I'm telling you, I soak this in prayer. And my desire to preach it is for you and to see you healed and saved and delivered so that you can worship God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength and be totally delivered and get the enemy out of your house and out of your brain and out of your mind so you can be free in God. And there's nothing like it in life to live free. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. It means to go about at pleasure. That means you can walk in anywhere because you're free and nothing can capture you. Let's pray. Prayer partners, come as I pray. We're not going to call anybody up during the service, after service. If you need prayer, please come. If you need some special help with this, please message me. We'll get you someone to talk to. Just get you some help. Girls and boys, ladies and men, if you need help, please reach out. Deliverance is yours. Deliverance is for your family. Deliverance has come. The elephant's out of the room. Amen? It's not the elephant in the room anymore. Let's get delivered. Let's watch God do amazing things and draw us. This is a matter of spiritual growth and spiritual maturity. Would y'all stand? Father God, in the name of Jesus, we glorify you. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing. Lord, I just ask you to deliver. Lord, this is not by might, it's not by power, but it's by your Spirit. Holy Spirit, do your work. Purge our hearts. Purify us. Come as a refiner's fire and a fuller soap. Lord God, wash us clean so we can be clean, Lord God, so we can be pure, so we can stand in your presence, so we can rejoice in your love. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, take away all shame, all condemnation, all guilt, and deliver us. Holy Spirit, we repent of our sins. Repent of all porn, all lust, all soft porn, all any porn, Lord God. Father God, any lust in our lives that's not pleasing to you, all idolatry, we repent of it. We turn from it. And we reach to you, Jesus. You are our healer. You are our salvation. We run to you boldly in our time of need. We come to the throne of grace. And so, Lord, I ask you, Lord God, to the one that's hurting, to the one that's lonely, to the one that's broken this morning, to the one that feels exposed, God, I just ask you to touch us, heal us, and let us connect to your heart. Because, Lord, you never leave us and you never forsake us. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you give the Lord a hand clap this morning? You're blessed and highly favored of the Lord.